This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad, with Ibrahim and Julian. It's more business news. What are the top stories now? We have Malaysia's 19th position. We love these rankings, don't we?
Yeah.
So Malaysia apparently is 19th, the 19th most competitive economy, and that's an occasion for celebration, I guess.
Yeah, I guess some surprising numbers here, because Malaysia is more competitive than China at number 25 and Japan at number 26. And among our ASEAN counterparts, Thailand is at number 28 and Indonesia at number 48. So the 19th position is pretty good.
You know what? I don't know whether what's more surprising, the fact that we're 19th or the fact that we have a Malaysia Productivity Corporation. And these numbers actually come from the MPC, Director General Datuk Razali Hussein, who quotes the surprising and notable numbers.
You know, one of the things that we do forget sometimes is that Kuala Lumpur and Malaysia is still seen as a beacon of growth. You know, it's a success story in many ways, right? The fact that today the World Economic Forum on ASEAN is being held here, and, you know, with these three agendas, social inclusion, fostering regional ties, as well as mastering the fourth industrial revolution, I mean, it's being hosted here in Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah, and because of this, we've had some interesting characters on the Breakfast Grill. Sal Shetty, the Secretary General, was on, the Secretary General of Amnesty International. He was on yesterday. This morning, we have Rami Jokela, the Group Vice President of Digital Project. This is ABB Group, and ABB is one of the world's largest and oldest robotics company. Tomorrow, we have Sigve Brekke, the CEO of Telenor Group, who is also the 49%, Telenor Group owns 49% of DG, so there's a lot of global and also local flavor to this. So we're getting a lot of voices from the WEF.
I just want to go back to the more entertaining aspect of the competitive news. You know, some oil producing. I mean, Singapore, of course, leading the way at number four. Again, Malaysia's ranking is 19. Some of the oil producing countries, Qatar and UAE, respectively number 13th and number 15th. But very surprisingly as well, Korea, which has given us the Samsungs, phones, and the Hyundai and cars of the world, right?
Yep.
They are not as competitive as Malaysia. They're being at number 25, again, compared to Malaysia's 19. So, I think this may suggest good news. Especially when seen in the light that the Chinese want to invest more in Malaysia. The figure, and this is the news that's carried by Malaysia Reserve. On the front page, China aims to invest 150 billion ringgit locally.
Yeah, so that 150 billion ringgit locally investment is definitely spurred by some interesting projects that are already in place. One of them is the Malaysia-China Kuantan Industrial Park, or MCKIP. China is also extensively interested in the KL Singapore High-Speed Rail project. In fact, they have this thing called the Two Countries Twin Parks project that they want to talk about, which is a second investment promotion conference that is happening in the country. So I guess they are big and going to, you know, if I may use the word, double down on their bets in Malaysia.
Yeah, so they have a lot of money they are spending on tech innovations at home and investing in foreign countries' infrastructure. Back to Malaysia, the head of MPC, Malaysia Productivity Corporation, Dato' Mohamad Razali, said that there were actually some factors which stopped Malaysia from getting a higher ranking, and these are 1 MDB and the weak ringgit. So these things continue to affect Malaysia's ranking.
Yeah, there's also a question, I guess, of automation take-up and such. But looking ahead, Treasury Secretary General Irwan Serga heads the 1 MDB board. The question is, what is the agenda for him and the two other members of the board? The fact that also Arukanda remains as president, there's a signal continuity rather than change.
Yeah,
this is to replace that previous board which resigned after the PAC report.
So the PAC report recommended for the Board of Advisors to be abolished, and in turn, the Board of Directors have also tendered their resignation, the entire lot of them. And now, following the PAC report, the Board of Advisors, where the Prime Minister sits, or SAT have been removed. There's no more board of advisors. The board of directors have also been stripped, all of them. And now only three individuals are there. And these three individuals are comprised of Tan Sri Irwan Siriga, the SecGen of the Treasury Department, and also two individuals. One of them is the COO of Procast, a private limited company wholly owned by the MOF, as well as the chief secretary of the government.
Procast is actually has the mandate to manage poor assets, poorly performing assets of the country. Dana Hata is that name that springs up, right? Dana Hata closed in 2005. And so now the implication is that 1MDB also needs a kind of administration and management. But, no heads have rolled yet for the 1MDB saga.
So with Dana Hata, we were looking at non-performing loans, will we, essentially?
Non-performing assets as well.
I wonder if this might be very painful, the Prime Minister, who claimed 1MDB as his brainchild. You know, I don't know if we've had a statement from him regarding this, because, you know, when you have to kind of, as it were, bury your own child, it must be a cause of some anguish.
Yeah, and there are some dissent from his cabinet. In fact, the Deputy Finance Minister, Dato' Johari Ghani, did say that 1MDB business model is unsustainable, and this is not following, say, message discipline within the party, because his finance minister, which is our prime minister, says something entirely different. So what does it mean if there is a disagreement between the finance minister and deputy finance minister?
So the words that are being used for 1MDB at the moment is non-operating company, which I think is another nicer way of saying the 1MDB is going to be closed down, right? I think they should call a spade that they were wrong in the concept of 1MDB. And this brings us to Proton, because Proton has gone into deeper losses, and along with it, pulling DRB Highcom down. Recently, the government also gave a 1.5 billion ringgit soft loan to Proton. And it's again the question of government providing the funding umbilical cord to corporations which they feel are going to help the country. But governments are really bad at business, as it has been proven.
We talked about China earlier, and you know, China providing that umbilical cord. How different are we? The losses are quite massive. It's 991 million ringgit. And how does that hurt them as a conglomerate?
And this is after that 1.5 billion soft loan that was given. So can you imagine if the soft loan was not granted? Yeah, granted that it doesn't go straight into the P&L, but hey, even with 1.5 billion, you're still scoring a 1 billion loss. So it does show a lot of mismanagement there.
Yeah, I think the almost a billion losses for DRB Highcom as a group, but within that number, I think Proton features quite strongly in dragging those numbers down.
Moving ahead, AirAsia X confident of getting into the black this year.
So this is a different company, right? Because we're talking about AirAsia X as opposed to AirAsia.
And as opposed to Proton. This is a private initiative.
Yeah. So AirAsia X is confident on coming back in the black. And the AirAsia X CEO, Benjamin Ismail, was also present in the media briefing yesterday. And he said the company will continue to focus on its current long-haul rates because Benjamin believes that it will go about negotiating new routes subsequently to this.
So they said that the second quarter would be quite challenging. The other surprising thing that they mentioned was AAX can be sold off and to be monetized because according to apparently Tan Sri's Tony Fernandez, he said that AirAsia X is one of AirAsia's strategic investment business and that it would be sold off at some point. But Kamaruddin Maranun, who is also AAX's group CEO, said that not at this point in time. And if you look at the structure of AirAsia X, Tune Group is the biggest shareholder with about 18%, AirAsia another 14%. So selling AAX off will also raise some funds for AirAsia. But I think at this point in time, it's really too strategic to be sold off. And AirAsia is being offered that $1.5 billion for the leasing company.
Yeah,
right?
So the leasing company news yesterday was clear-cut sale. And believe it or not, Tony...
Not confirmed yet, though.
Yeah,
just overtures.
But Tan Sri Tony did say that the leasing business does have a strategic investment investment angle towards AirAsia Group as well. So this is a larger story of AirAsia X trying to wind down their firm, and they're trying to find the best buyer to see how the price fits. AirAsia X might be sold off, even though it's a strategic business. AirAsia Leasing might be sold off, and they've got a price tag to it. I don't know whether AirAsia himself is going to streamline their business to just short regional low-cost carrier.
I think that times are good right now, so especially for AAX, they are taking the opportunity to expand routes. They're negotiating for some routes in China, I think. And the other airline that's negotiating for routes as well is Virgin, flying more to China out of Australia, but they have a new owner.
So the owner of Hainan Airlines Corporation will buy about 13% of the Virgin Australia business for about $159 million Australian dollars. This comes to about $114 million US, which is nothing, I guess, for Hainan Airlines. And they plan to raise that stake to about 20% over time.
I think this really reflects the kind of money that is needed to play that travel game, budget travel game. But interesting to note that Virgin is already owned by a lot of other major shareholders like Air New Zealand, Singapore Airlines, Etihad Airways, and now adding a Chinese shareholder to it. It doesn't seem like this airline is Virgin at all. It's been owned by a lot of the other people.
The other paradox, of course, is that when we look at China and we say it's a communist country and it's run by the Communist Party, the command economy is nowhere in sight. We have billionaires like Chen Feng, who owns the HNA group.
Yeah, the Hainan Airlines.
We have billionaires. And so we have this rather paradoxical situation of political control on one hand, but also a vibrant economy that's producing billionaires with clearly a lot of impact and influence.
Yeah, I think there are really very strong arguments on both sides on how well China is doing on the innovation front. But certainly, they've made a lot of money over the last two decades or so. And along with it, creating a lot of princelings who have a lot of money. And China is flush to its liquidity. So far in the first quarter of the year, they have made more acquisitions than all of last year combined.
Well, just so we can squeeze this in, Sapura Kanchana announces more gas discoveries in East Malaysia. Sapura Kanchana is one of the co-chairs of the WEF on ASEAN.
We're talking about a lot of gas here, trillions of cubic feet of gas. I don't know how this will impact the revenues and earnings of SAPCAN because the sector is under a lot of volatility. But I guess the extra volume does help, it's good for the country. It's good for SAPCAN. A lot of oil, a lot of gas coming out to be exported. But the other news, of course, is announced yesterday. There's no petrol price changes.
Yeah, so I'm still paying the same petrol price at my pump. Having said that, it's a courtesy of myself to fill up the tank on the final day of every month.
And also a quick one, Malaysia plans to implement B10 and B7 biodiesel program, meaning that 10 or 7% of palm oil would have to go into diesel usage. I'm not sure if this is, again, a good idea. What kind of subsidies does it take? Will the government continue to have the support? And what do we do about the continued deforestation and the effects on food prices when we put palm oil into our cars?
Well, don't forget to join us after the 8 o'clock news. I speak to Rami Johan Jokela. He's the head of Digital ABB on the Fourth Industrial Revolution. That's coming up just after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.